Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What True Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Stacey. Welcome to What True Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to chatting.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Stacey Agdron. I was a bookseller for 10 years. I was a reviewer for an extended period of time, and I am also a writer. But I am a reader first. My newest book, The B'nai Mitzvah Mistake, will come out June 1st, 2023. I have also had the full of the Friendships and Principles series, with the last of which is Love and Latkes, which released October 2021 from Thule Publishing. And I am a hockey fan. I am a music fan, and I'm just really, really happy to talk about books because
all right. So let's chat about the Love and Latkes, like the whole series. What was the inspiration, and how do you end up writing it? You know, what was the process of writing it?
So the Friendships and Festival series started, the first book came out in October of 2020.
Okay.
Before I wrote that, I was very, very deeply involved with a series of extremely political anthologies called the Rogue series. Rogue Acts, Rogue Desires, with a whole bunch of really, really brilliant writers. And at that time, what I was doing was writing about things that I was still processing at the time. Like up until that point, the stories that I've written were about things that I'd already kind of dealt with and processed. Whereas for this series of short stories that appeared, that were published between, I want to say, 2017 and 2018, I was writing about things that I was annoyed about, that I was feeling really, really deeply about. And at the end of that period of time, I needed a fuzzy blanket. I needed something to kind of cover my brain in joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things in this world is Hanukkah. I'm a huge fan of the holiday. It makes me a very happy person. And so I reached for that, but I wasn't sure what to do with that. But I also had been spending a lot of time watching holiday movies on television. You know, the happy, the joyous, like fun movies where you can kind of just watch for 2 hours and kind of, again, put your brain in a fuzzy blanket. And I was like, this is perfect. So I watched quite a number of these movies on Hallmark mostly, but I found myself watching and wondering, like, what if the holiday they were celebrating was Hanukkah? What if the characters were Jewish? And sure enough, I found my idea, I found my inspiration, and wrote Miracles and Menorahs, which is the first book in that series, being driven from all of that inspiration, from the fuzzy blanket of Hanukkah to the Hallmark movies, to things that I wanted to say about the holiday. Mm-hmm. And I loved writing this happy, fuzzy, very Jewish holiday story in Miracles. And I had, one of my favorite things about the romance genre is how series generally work. Mm-hmm. You know, in that you introduce a whole cast of characters in the first one. And 90% of the time when you talk about series, they're about either a family or about a group of friends or a team or something. And you watch each of these people get their own books. So in Miracles, I introduced three characters, two close friends and a third friend who shows up because she was staying with her aunt. Mm-hmm. And so Sarah's story, who Sarah is the heroine of Miracles and Menorahs, and her best friend Anna gets book two, which is History of Us. It is not a Hanukkah book. It's a really fun, sort of a half fun, half serious book about, it's a summer book. It's a second chance. Well, I call it a last chance book, but that's, you know, about the things we know about Jewish history and the things we don't know about Jewish history. Mm-hmm. And book three is Love and Latkes, and that is Batya's story. And it's about Hanukkah, but it's also about Jewish food and Jewish traditions and kind of like how we preserve those things, even as, you know, we celebrate. You know, I've written, again, like years and years and years of shorts and different longer stories, but I kept these ideas in my head, and they were actually my first traditionally published solo novels. So,
and I love that you're writing Jewish joy, because we can talk about the trauma, we can talk about the pain, but there's something to be said about telling those stories of joy, mm-hmm. because they express we can connect with them just as well, you know, and we can see them like it's part of our history. Like after all the trauma, we can experience joy, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, no, it's so important. And like, I think that's one of the reasons why, like, I love writing about Jewish joy is that, like, you know, going back to Hanukkah, one of the reasons why Hanukkah is my favorite holiday in terms of sort of the Jewish calendar in general is because it is one of the easiest ways to sort of express visible means of Jewish joy, right? Like, mm-hmm. when one of the things I love about time and synchronicity is that, like, it seems that every single time I have a book coming out or something to talk about, Rabbi Danya Ruttenberg has a piece that's really, really relevant to whatever I'm writing about, every single time without fail. And right around the time that I was writing the author's note for Miracles and Menorahs, heading towards Hanukkah of 2020, which, you know, what is it, Hanukkah, whatever it was, she had just come out with this article about the importance of putting a menorah in the window in the middle of the pandemic, in the middle of this time where there was a mix of both anti-Semitism and isolation. And like, oh, it was a way to sort of show that's a way to show Jewish pride, you know, as things got difficult. And I'm like, yes, this is what I stick in the author's note. So mm-hmm. there was a link to that piece. And I want to say it was in the Washington Post. I don't remember what it was. It was the Washington Post where she talked about this. And I was like, this is perfect. So
I love this. And so what can we expect for your next book? Like, what are we expecting for the summer release? You know, give us a little teaser.
So the B'nai Mitzvah Mistake comes out June 1st, 2023. It's my take on a forced proximity story. Mm-hmm. The sort of the joke is there's only one B'nai Mitzvah date. So you have two people in their 30s, mm-hmm. who for reasons did not have a chance to have their bar and bat mitzvah as kids, decide as adults to say, we're going to have a bar bat mitzvah. And so they both enroll in a class and they are assigned the same date. Except here's the problem. He is a retired hockey player who, when he was very, very early on in his career, was the one who derailed her sister's career. Her sister is a sports agent. Mm-hmm. And so there is a little bit of bad blood involved. And they have to deal with each other. Luckily, there is a young 7-year, 8-year-old nephew of the heroine who needs to interview a Jewish athlete because his teacher is disbelieving that there are such things. And he wants to create an association for Jewish hockey players.
Okay.
To help them find community. And she just happens to be a project manager at a Jewish philanthropic organization who knows a little bit something about creating organizations.
Yeah.
And what happens to them throughout the course of this book is just kind of amazing and a lot of fun. And it deals with a lot of different things. Like there were some conversations in Love and Latkes about Jewish food and Jewish food traditions. Mm-hmm. And some of that stuff gets a little bit deeper in B'nai Mitzvah. We talk a little bit more about the Lower East Side and the history there and what's there and what's being lost and the things that we try to preserve through conversation. So,
yes. Oh, I can't wait. I love this. Oh, so yeah. Keep writing, keep doing.
I'm enjoying every second of this. Like it's one of those great things. Like, as I said, like I'm a reader first.
Yes.
So like one of the things that makes me the happiest is like seeing someone discover my books for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, because I know what it feels like to find that one book and go, you know, there's me or there's an experience that I recognize. I get to read on the page. Like the first time that happened to me, I was like, like one of the books like I think about a lot now is Chasing Stanley by Deirdre Martin,
mm-hmm.
Which served as the way of breaking my concrete ceiling, if you will. And what I mean by that is the following. I am a multi-generational hockey fan. My grandfather, we don't know whether he was born in Poland or the United States, family records, we don't know. But he was a very vibrant and amazing man. He died in his 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He was a hockey fan, just like my family, you know, that followed him.
Yeah.
But for years, I had this mental block. Like I couldn't see myself in hockey romances. I love reading them, but I was going to be a romance writer, but no, you know, I can't write those. And then Chasing Stanley came out. And I remember going, oh my God, because the heroine was Jewish. And I was mm-hmm. like, okay, if she can do this, I can do it. Thus, you know, I was involved in a series of anthologies, working, you know, writing about a team called the New York Empires, which actually shows up in B'nai Mitzvah. And, but without that book, like without that, the book, the impact that book had on me, I wouldn't have been able to write B'nai Mitzvah at all. So.
I love how sometimes we find those books that can inform us, that can impact us in like ways beyond that the authors may not even realize it. Like, you know, it's like, oh, like, you know, and mm-hmm. having that moment and be like, my world open up, you open up my world.
Exactly. Like this, and I love when that happens too. Like I always take note of it. Like I have this mental list of like all of these books that like have altered my perspective in a lot of ways, like mm-hmm. and it happens when you least expect it too. So yes. Stripped by Zoe Castile is another one of those books mm-hmm. for me. I love this author's writing. No matter what name she's writing under, she is brilliant and amazing, and I adore her to pieces.
Yeah.
Stripped is the first of a series by this particular author under the Zoe Castile name. It was published 2018, 2017.
I think so.
Yep. So the main female character of the book is a teacher in Queens. The main male character is a male stripper. And it's basically a series about like Magic Mike style, like inspiration. Anyway, part of the center of the story is that the heroine's best friend is getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is going to be great. You know, the heroine's going to enjoy herself, generally speaking. You know, she's like, you know, she's supposed to be one of the maids of honor, but life is difficult and it's messy for her. And I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be good. And then we find out that the heroine's best friend is Jewish. And I'm like, oh my God, this is wonderful, but we're not going to see this wedding on the page. Best friend is a secondary character who's already paired up. We're just going to maybe like see 5 minutes of reference to this wedding. We're not going to see it. We're going to see the reception afterwards. We're not going to see the wedding. No. We see the wedding on the page in the middle of the book. I think I lost my mind. Like sob, tears. I wrote about three, as I said, I was reviewing for a while. So I wrote about three articles about this book and about this wedding scene. I told her editor, the brilliant Norma Perez Hernandez. I was like sobbing on all of them. because it marked the first time I'd seen a Jewish wedding in a romance novel.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is fantastic. And then in the back of my head, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, what can a Jewish romance writer bring to Jewish weddings? What can this do? Like, how can I write a Jewish wedding? We find out in the series that B'nai Mitzvah Mistake is the first book in. Series is about four cousins who, two sets of sisters, four first cousins, who are the last single girls in their Jewish families. And it is the first time where I try to not only connect character elements, but also plot elements.
Mm-hmm.
Because the series in many ways is actually about a wedding.
Oh my gosh. I love this. All right. So let's have some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Absolutely. So I've been reading a bunch for a lot of different reasons. The first one I want to talk about is Heart on a Leash by Alana Martin.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those books that have been sitting in my pile for a while, and I love the cover and it's adorable. And then I dive in, and it's this like Romeo and Juliet type stories taking place in the middle of a small town in Alaska with puppies. The puppies are amazing. They're cute, but they don't overpower the story, which is like, as you know, as anybody knows who reads or writes, like when you are writing adorable animals, they could potentially take over. If they do not, the characters are fantastic. And one of the other things I love about this book is that both of these characters are slight outsiders to this whole feud. They're just like, this is ridiculous. And like, I think when you read books like this in contemporary, not as much a historical, because like, you know, there's sort of this other mindset that you're in when you're reading historical, but like in contemporary in particular, like there are moments where you're thinking, my God, do these people know how ridiculous this is? Like, do these people know like how ridiculous this like 20 million year old feud is? And so Alana just does a really great job of like showing this sexy romance, but also delving deep into this like rival families trope. And it's amazing to watch. And I absolutely adored it.
It's so good. Don't be fooled by the puppy cover, because I thought it was like, oh, this is just gonna cute, tame Hallmark, you know, Alaskan movie set, you know, kind of idea. And it was spicy. It was good. It was just like engaging. The whole book was just like so good. Like the puppy cover was like, okay, there's cute puppies. Like, yeah. What can you expect? And it's like,
exactly.
Mind-blowing.
But yeah, no, it's fantastic. And like, you know, it is like small town, you know, it is puppies, but like
there's more to that.
And more to that. And I adored it so much.
Yeah.
And I guess as I'm talking about like books that examine tropes like that,
mm-hmm.
I gotta mention The Friendship Contract by Mia Heinzelman.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking about this book for a little bit, but one of the things I loved so much about it was how deeply it investigated the trope of, fake dating, contract dating, like that sort of subsection of it. And like these, characters who look at this trope and go, are you freaking serious? Like, are we actually going to write a contract? And they're attorneys, right? There are two attorneys. She's coming off of a situation where she thought she was going to get a ring, but instead she got broken up with. And her friends, her two closest friends, were also partners in her law firm, do not like this guy at all. Like, no way. Like, he is disgusting. He is putrid. They are very happy this is done. And they're trying to support her, including this male friend of hers who has had this major crush on her for years. But the thing is, it was a nice sort of crush, if that makes any sense. Like, people talk about like friend zoning, and that's not the case at all. Like, he was happy to be her friend because he was happy to be her friend, but there were also feelings, if that makes sense at all. Mm-hmm. When you just clarify, because there's been constant conversations about this recently, and I just wanted to make sure. Anyway, so she's known her for years. They've known each other for years. She takes refuge at his house after this breakup. And well, let's put it this way. But here's the bigger problem. The bigger problem is that she's got to go to her brother's wedding, and she needs a date. and she needs someone to like deal with the shenanigans that her family is gonna potentially pull. And so she takes him. And they, what they do is they write a contract. And it was interesting because it's not a contract to fake date. Like there are provisions and contract potentials, but it is a contract to protect the thing that is important, most important to most of them. It is a contract to protect the friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And like that I found was fantastic. Like they go through this contract a couple of times as events happen, as things change. And it's like the chemistry, and they sort of realize that they actually are real feelings beyond friendship. And it's just, I adore it. I absolutely adore it. And I think she's going to do a sequel. So I'm excited to see what that's going to be, but it's really, really good. Like, again, it's another one of those books that are just like, I can't, are like, this is actually a thing that we're going to do, really, kind of thing.
I love this. All right. So tell us where you can find you online.
So, Instagram, SAGDARN, Twitter for however long that exists. And wife Stacy, TikTok, I look and make comments as S. Agdern. Website, stacyagdern.com. And you can find my books wherever books are sold.
Awesome. Thank you, Stacy, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura. I had a wonderful time.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with the free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on Libro FM for the price of one with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.